And right now, the early music show recorded yesterday evening at Gateshead. It's introduced by Lucy Skeeping.
I'm in Gateshead today for a concert at St Mary's Heritage Centre. This former medieval church sits high above the River Tyne, just a stone's throw from the city's iconic Sage building. But the atmosphere here couldn't be more different from its very modern neighbour. With its Gothic windows and ancient stone walls, St Mary's is one of the city's last remaining links to its medieval past. In fact, I'm told that back in the 14th century it was home to a female hermit who lived here in a sealed cell. So the concert is part of Radio 3's annual Festival of Ideas, Free Thinking. And in a moment, we're going to be welcoming to the stage the Marian Consort, a dynamic young group who specialise in early devotional and sacred music. In keeping with the festival theme, tearing up the rule book, their director, Rory McCleary, has put together an intriguing programme featuring composers whose creative imagination and religious principles prompted them, each in their own way, to disregard the established musical rules of the day. We're going to hear pieces by William Byrd, by Gesualdo, and others, and I'll be chatting with Rory as we go along. But we begin with a composer who may be a little less well-known, Slovenian-born Jakob Handel. Not to be confused, of course, with his more familiar namesake, this 16th century Mr. Handel was a member of the Viennese court chapel and later cantor at the cathedral in Prague. He also spent several years on the move, living in monasteries and taking the opportunity, as he put it, to understand the muse and meditate on the shepherd's pipe. Handel's most notable work is his Opus Musicum, a collection of motets for the church year. And this one, Mirabile Mysterium, gives us an idea of just how complex, chromatic, dissonant, and, well, free-thinking his music could be. So please welcome the Marian Consort with their director, Rory McCleary.
Thank you.
Mirabile Mysterium by the 16th century Slovenian composer Jakob Handel. The opening piece of this concert given by the Marian Consort here at St Mary's Heritage Centre in Gateshead. Now, Rory McCleary, you're the director of the group. That really is an amazing piece. So many extraordinary harmonic twists and turns. I mean, it could almost be 20th rather than 16th century.
Yes.
Now, this concert is all about composers who bent the rules, if you like. But how far would Jakob Handel have been considered experimental or unconventional in his time?
Well, I think quite unconventional, because he wasn't a composer working in the areas of Europe where this kind of experimentation was going on. He was in Vienna and in Prague, and this kind of chromatic exploration was going on mostly in Italy at the time. So it would have been quite unusual.
So Handel was certainly stretching the boundaries, as was our next composer, Carlo Gesualdo, a man who famously had, unfortunately, quite a dramatic and tortured life. But meanwhile, I mean, do you think his life and the sad things that happened sort of affected the music he wrote?
I think unquestionably, and they certainly influenced his choice of texts that he did set to music. I think that his particular mindset led him towards very kind of penitential or supplicatory, and certainly a lot of very dolorous, miserable texts, yes.
Well, the Marian Consort, directed by you, are now going to perform one of Gesualdo's Tenebrae responsories for Holy Week. It's a Latin text, of course, and I know that he used word painting, Rory, didn't he, to emphasise the meaning.
Absolutely, and this was something that he and a number of other composers imported from secular music, from the madrigal, really. And in the piece we're about to hear, you can look out for some wonderful examples of this as we hear Descendentibus, as we descend into the pit, and this wonderful falling line. And then later in the piece, Inter Mortuos, and then Liber, we have the juxtaposition of being among the dead and then suddenly being freed. And you'll hear how vividly he paints those two very different things in the music.
Thank you very much for now, Rory, and we're going to hear the piece. This is Estimata Sum, performed by the Marian Consort.
Descendentibus.
Estimatus Sum, one of Gesualdo's Tenebrae responsories for Holy Week, performed there by the Marian Consort, directed by Rory McCleary. Now, Rory, the next piece, Vox in Rama, is by the Flemish-born composer Jacques de Vert. Tell us a little about him.
Jacques de Vert was a Flemish composer, yes, but he spent his entire career really in Italy. And so he appropriated a lot of things that Italian musicians were doing at the time, and particularly Cipriano d'Arore, with whom he was closely acquainted at the court in Ferrara. And he was one of the pioneers, along with Rory, he learned from him, in importing lots of these madrigalian gestures, chromaticism, very vivid word painting, into sacred music, particularly for very evocative texts like the one we're about to hear.
And this piece tells, in fact, a very moving biblical story, doesn't it?
It does indeed. It's the slaughter of Rachel's children. It's a quotation from the Gospel of Matthew talking about the slaughter of the innocents by Herod, but referencing an Old Testament text about Rachel bewailing the death of her children. So an incredibly emotive subject.
You're following it with another motet by Gesualdo, Ave Dulcissima Maria. Now, this is a penitential text. It's a prayer to the Virgin. So what sort of things should we listen out for here?
Well, Gesualdo's motets are a wonderful genre, really, in themselves, because they're an interesting halfway house between the very overt style that we hear in his Tenebrae responsories and his later madrigals, and something more akin to what you might describe as the Palestrina style, beautifully mellifluous Renaissance polyphony from the end of the 16th century. And so you can hear these two things wonderfully complementing each other. So you'll hear little madrigalian gestures like at O Maria, where he uses the homophony to make it really very rhetorical, but then you'll also hear the wonderful overlapping of the contrapuntal lines.
Thank you for now. Well, this is the Marian Consort with Vox in Rama by de Vert, followed by Gesualdo's Ave Dulcissima Maria.
Thank you.
Clarion Consort, directed by Rory McCleary, with two sacred motets, Gesualdo's Ave Dulcissima Maria, and before that, Vox in Rama by Jacques de Vert, both composers bending the rules of their day in the harmonies they use, as we've all heard. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping, and a concert of vocal music given by the Marian Consort here at St Mary's Church in Gateshead, part of Radio 3's Freethinking Festival of Ideas. Now, Gesualdo was a rule breaker, wasn't he, Rory, in musical terms? But I wonder if it might be too simplistic to put his unconventional style down to his sort of tortured life, his near madness, you could say. I mean, I wonder if we ought to view him in a wider context.
I think that's absolutely right. It's very easy to see Gesualdo as this loner, this iconoclast, completely smashing up the system of polyphony, really, at the end of the 16th century. But it's worth remembering that actually there were lots of Italian composers before and at the same time as Gesualdo who were experimenting with this chromaticism and with very vivid word painting as a means of bringing the text across. And Gesualdo himself was very influenced by a man named Luzzasco Luzzaschi, who was court composer at Ferrara. And in fact, when he arrived at Ferrara, he really had his mind blown by all the things that were going on there. There were lots of music theorists experimenting, and one of Gesualdo's close friends, in fact, wrote in a letter that the man himself had begun to imitate Luzzaschi, whom he admires greatly and praises constantly. So this man, Luzzaschi, was a huge influence on Gesualdo's music.
Well, you're going to begin this next set with Luzzaschi's madrigal, Doverosi Martir. Tell us a little about it, in what way we can sort of sense him bending the rules in this.
Well, I think you'll hear, again, there's that same wonderfully vivid attention to detail in the text, really bringing the text to the fore in the way that the music is set to it, with chromaticism and with very vivid word painting. There's some wonderful imagery about wicked snares and chains and bonds and being constrained, and we hear that in the way that Luzzaschi writes his music around it.
So we're going to start with Luzzasco Luzzaschi's Doverosi Martir, and we'll follow that with Carlo Gesualdo's Moro Lasso.
Thank you.
Two madrigals from 16th century Italy performed by the Marian Consort, directed by Rory McCleary. Dolorosi Martir by the memorably named Luzzasco Luzzaschi, followed by one of Gesualdo's certainly more harmonically extreme works, Moro Lasso, part of this concert featuring composers who, in their different ways, disregarded the musical conventions of their day. Well, the final four pieces, Rory, that you've chosen are all by one man, the Elizabethan composer William Byrd. And you're going to begin with his six-part motet, O Salutaris Hostia. There are some striking dissonances I heard in the music when you were rehearsing this afternoon. One doesn't necessarily think of Byrd as unconventional, but so what was he kind of aiming to do here?
Well, it's thought that this is quite a young work, not quite the student Byrd, but certainly a man learning his craft. And in the O Salutaris Hostia, he seems to be experimenting with this very English device of the false relation. and seeing how far he could push it. It's an incredibly clever piece because it has three canonic voice parts. There are three voices working together in canon, and there are so many false relations jam-packed in there, and it becomes a wonderfully rich, dense texture, which I think brings out the meaning of the text.
False relations?
False relations is where you get the major and minor third very close together, if not right on top of each other, and it's that wonderful tension. So,
it's not quite clear whether it's major or minor.
Yes, it's that little moment, that frisson with chromaticism.
Brilliant. Let's hear it. Salutaris Hostia, a motet by William Byrd, performed by the Marian Consort. Yes, Rory, I do see what you mean about these sort of false relations. It's really quite confusing on the ear. I won't say painful, but it's certainly an odd experience. But in terms of Byrd being the rule breaker, perhaps we should surely focus on this business of him being a recusant Catholic, because that's where it really happens, isn't it?
Well, absolutely, yes. There's this other facet of the man, Byrd, that the composer rule breaker, but then also Byrd, the religious man, and a rule breaker in Protestant Elizabethan England. And Byrd got off quite lightly in relative terms because he was a favourite of Elizabeth I, but he still had to live in a country where his religion was outlawed, and he was very close friends with a number of Jesuits and with a number of influential Catholic families, so he moved very much in recusant circles, yes.
So in what way, was he sending out some sort of secret message within the music? How did that work?
Well, in fact, the next piece that we're going to hear, Ne Irascaris Domine, is one of a great number of Byrd's motets that have as their texts things which could very easily be interpreted as recusant Catholic propaganda. And in fact, the collection of motets that it's from, the 1589 Cantiones Sacrae, all of these texts deal with either themes of desolation and despair at the destruction of Jerusalem, which is a very obvious allegory for the state of the Catholic Church in England, or the hope of God's return and the restoration of his people, which is what the Catholics must have been hoping for at that time. So it's Byrd very much wearing his heart on his sleeve and showing his colours.
Thank you. Let's hear it.
Thank you.
Marian consort with William Byrd's motet Ne Irascaris Domine, part of their concert given here at St Mary's Heritage Centre in Gateshead. You're listening to the Early Music Show on BBC Radio 3 with me, Lucy Skeeping, and today we're hearing the Marian consort. Rory, let's talk briefly about your group. Who have we got here? Give us a name check first.
Absolutely, yes. So this evening we've got Amy Hayworth and Cecilia Osmond singing soprano, Hannah Cook singing alto, Ashley Turnell and Tom Kelly singing tenor, and Nick Ashby singing bass.
And how did you all get together?
The group originally started almost by accident, but back at university, when myself and some of my friends decided to sing some of this music, but with only one voice on a part. We wanted to try it out that way, because we'd sung it in choirs, in much bigger choirs, but we wanted to experiment. And then we've been very fortunate ever since that we've grown and become a professional ensemble, and things seem to have, yeah.
And do you have a sort of favourite composer, favourite repertoire? I mean, this has certainly been extraordinary to listen to, very memorable, but I mean, are there big other areas that you like to do as well?
Well, I think certainly William Byrd is very much a favourite of the group. Really wonderful composer and amazing music. But we do like exploring other repertoires as well. In fact, we'll be giving some concerts next month around the UK of Christmas music from the Sistine Chapel by Spanish and Italian composers, Christmas with the Shepherds.
Wonderful. Well, I'm afraid time's almost up, so I'm going to ask you now if you'll introduce your two final pieces, and they're both by William Byrd, aren't they?
They are indeed, and they both come from towards the end of his life. We have Beate Mundo Corde, which is the communion for the Feast of All Saints, a very important feast in the Catholic calendar, and particularly because at this time it allowed Byrd and his companions to commemorate very recent martyrs and saints, as well as those from times gone by. And you'll hear in his setting of the text, he really does invest himself in it. And in fact, Byrd said, in the very sentences that I have learned from experience, there's such hidden and concealed power that to a man thinking about divine things and turning them over attentively and earnestly in his mind, the most appropriate music comes, I know not how, but as if by its own free will.
After that, we're going to hear an English text, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. And it's from Byrd's final publication, which came out in the same year as Gesualdo's final publication, 1611. And it's a Come Woeful Orpheus, a singularly appropriate text to finish this concert with, because he talks about sourest sharps and uncouth flats. And it's Byrd enjoying himself with word painting, but also perhaps just taking a sly dig at the Italian madrigal and very gestural word painting, which had by then become very fashionable in England.
Thank you.
Certainly sounded quite different. That was in English. Music by William Byrd. That last one, Come Woeful Orpheus. And before that, of course, the Latin, Beati Mundo Corde. And that ends this concert, given by the Marian Consort, directed by Rory McCleary, here at St Mary's Heritage Centre in Gateshead, part of Radio 3's Free Thinking Festival of Ideas. Do join us for next week's Early Music Show, when I'll be introducing a concert from kind of the other end of the realm, from the Brighton Early Music Festival.
Today's Early Music Show at Freethinking was presented by Lucy Skeeping and recorded yesterday evening in Gateshead.